Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you that you're present with us by your Spirit. Thank you that you are faithful in leading your people. Thank you that you are at work to bring healing and salvation to humanity and the world and the cosmos. Lord, help us to recognize how you're at work in our lives and amongst us. And Lord, may we respond in the ways that you call us to respond, that we may be your witnesses, and that your work may be advanced through us. In Jesus' name, amen. In my report in the booklets, which I know you'll have all read and memorised by now, but if you haven't quite had a chance to do that, then do please have a look at it. And in that report, I pick up on, it was quite a while ago since I wrote this, and I pick up on a devotional time I had where I was reflecting quite a lot on Isaiah the prophet and on Peter, and particularly his call as to move from being a fisherman to a fisher of people. And in my report, I developed the Luke passage, which I commend to you to look at. But today I want to focus on Isaiah, because it just so happens that the lectionary, wonderfully as it often does, gave us this passage from Isaiah today. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Up until a couple of years ago, I used to, on a Thursday evening, run a small huddle group with some Generation Y, I think they probably are, young adults. And it was a great place of debate and kind of exploring theology together. The last couple of years we haven't been meeting for various reasons, but on Thursday we got together again, and we went out for a pint on Thursday evening. Joiner's Arm in Quorndon, very nice, and they do fantastic flat pizzas, but anyway, I won't get distracted, but I recommend the pizzas, they're good. But anyway, we had a very stimulating conversation, which included talking about lots of issues as to what it means to live as Christians today. And I was reminded in meeting with them again, and struck very much by some of the differences between, I'm a Generation X person, and they are most, I think they're all Generation Y, so just one generation between us, but really struck by just how significantly culture and perceptions have shifted between those two generations. Quite striking, almost quite shocking actually, things that I've just grown up with and assumed, in having a conversation realised that's not a common assumption at all anymore. Some of their perspectives and some of the things that they said struck me as being healthier and better than some of the things that I was brought up with. On the other hand, some of the things that they said and some of their perspectives were starkly at odds with my own perspective and my own understanding. And in particular, when we talked about values and lifestyles, some of the things that they were espousing, I have to say, I just didn't recognise as being Christian, but rather coming from a wider culture. So it's a challenge to them, a challenge to me, to think about, well, what does it mean then to follow Jesus and be a Christian and be faithful to that call? And of course, in the micro, on Thursday evening in the Joiner's Arms in Quorndon, that was the micro version of what we see in our society, the macro version at large, wasn't it? That actually, in the last generation or two, we have seen mainstream culture in our society and traditional church culture drift apart like that. And also, we've seen that drift between the generations. We live at a time when the tectonic plates of culture and society are shifting in significant ways. And of course this happens throughout history at various points. And we're of course called to be followers of Jesus, Christians, at that interchange. That's both exciting but also challenging unsettling, disorientating. One of the things that came out of our conversation on Thursday evening was, in terms of the conversation we had, was the extent to which, although the others in the group are all Christians, the extent to which established church or traditional church or mainstream church, actually, in our society, is failing to help and equip and inspire them to base their lives on Jesus and to seek to serve him and to seek to live their lives in a way that flows from that. So we've got churches trying to do their stuff, like us, and we've got a whole generation or two of people who are not connecting with that and not finding what traditional churches do helpful in their journey of faith. And of course, many in our society don't have that journey of faith at all. So the fabric and the culture of our society are being reshaped. And this is the context in which we have today held our annual meetings. In the writing and the reading of reports, we have this annual opportunity for us to look back and to reflect over the last year, the last part of the journey. And perhaps we also start to just think about and look a bit towards the future. And I think we would all recognise that there is, of course, a danger in looking back too much, isn't there? The past can become an idealised world, the good old days, into which we retreat when the future, or the present even, becomes too frightening to face. But in recalling how God has worked in the past, this can also act as a springboard from which we can launch ourselves into the future with new strength. Isaiah was a prophet who was called to speak God's truth to God's people some 2,500 years ago, thereabouts. And his call was, in essence, to act as a kind of loud human warning siren that all was not well in the nation of Israel, that they were spiritually asleep. Isaiah, in pointing out that in relying on their history and their traditions, they were making idols for themselves and therefore putting their trust in the wrong places. And it is clear to Isaiah that the people of Israel at the time are missing the bigger picture, missing God's great work of salvation, and so therefore missing out on what God was wanting to do with them and through them, missing out on the new thing that God is doing. And in the run-up to today's lectionary reading, the bit that Ted read for us, we find that the prophet repeatedly calls God's people blind. Blind to God's presence. Blind to God's plan. And yet, through Isaiah, God assures them that blind though they be, he will still lead them. He is still with them. And that he is at work to lead them through new experiences and new places. How do the Israelites respond to this message? Well, they don't. They're unresponsive. I guess they've probably heard it all before. So they've kind of become immune to hearing God's voice through his prophet. Isaiah comments, I think he puts these words in God's mouth, "Your ears are open, but you hear nothing." Why? Well, put bluntly, as we've already mentioned, because they were idolatrous. idolatrous in that their agendas, their goals, and their hopes are for the most part self-serving. Their commitment was to their own lives and their own priorities, following, as we might say, the ways of the world, rather than seeking to know God's plan and to be part of his salvation purposes for the world. And so as a result, they're simply preoccupied, totally unprepared for being able to respond and follow to God's leading. And so Isaiah calls them and challenges them to hear and to believe and to trust, to remind them that as a people, God has formed them for himself. That to live as his people is to be witnesses to his presence in the world. To live as his people is for their lives and their community together to proclaim his praise. In fact, I was really struck in preparing for today the amount of emphasis that Isaiah puts on being witnesses. Because in my mind, I tend to, if you think about being witnesses, I think of the New Testament and being called to be witnesses. But actually, it's a very, very strong theme in Isaiah. And just in just before the bit that was read to us, twice we get in verse 10, "You are my witnesses," declares the Lord. And then in verse 12, "You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses that I am God. That I am God." And then, of course, we know that that theme develops. I love Isaiah because he just points so wonderfully, doesn't he, back to Jesus and to the New Covenant. But anyway, we know that that extends and that flows through into the New Testament, where God's people are described as being witnesses and called to be witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So we know that, don't we? I think. I suppose the question is, how? How, in what way are they supposed to be witnesses? Are we supposed to be witnesses? Well, in his prophecy, Isaiah first causes his hearers to look back, to remember, to reflect. To reflect on what God has done in the past. To reflect on God's great actions in delivering their ancestors from slavery in Egypt centuries before. But the fascinating and the interesting thing is that immediately having said to remember, to look back, sorry, in describing that to them, he then says, forget it. Forget the former things. So he's drawn their attention to it, and then he says, forget it. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah understands human psychology. He too knew that actually human inclination is to hanker after the good old days and to idealise the past, and that actually this looking backwards can blind us to what God is doing now and next. Isaiah wants his hearers to remember and to be encouraged by the amazing things that God has done, to remember who God is, to remember how powerful God is, to remember how big God is in terms of his plans and his purposes. But he only wants them to remember that in order that they may have strength and courage to face future challenges, to be able to trust that the God who has been with them in the past, the God that has been at work with them to guide them and to lead them and to bring salvation and freedom to them in the past, is the God who is with them now and who continues to lead them forward into the future. So how are they to be witnesses? Well, not by retreating into an idealised past, but by recognising and discerning the new thing that God is doing, the new thing that is starting to spring up. The message of Isaiah is as much encouragement as challenge. Isaiah is saying that although they have been blind and deaf, although they are feeble, we're all feeble, aren't we? The feeble people of God, the blind and deaf people of God, can and will be his witnesses. So as they realise the truth that God, the great I Am, is with them, just as much as it's been with them in the past or their ancestors in the past, once they realise that they are God's people, from that realisation, they will be able to rise up above their fears about the future, because they will know deep down the truth of being God's people. And as we know and discover and feel in our hearts the truth that we belong to God, that he has called us, that he has created us, that he has formed us, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he is with us, that we are his people, that knowledge is able to grip us and to transform us so that we can become witnesses to God's power that is at work. I think the emphasis here, I don't know about you, but I suppose if I think about being a witness, I start to get anxious about how do I explain my faith to this person who's likely to laugh at me or reject me or ignore me or think I'm some religious nuts or whatever. That's where my mind goes straight away. I think the emphasis here is about being close to God, knowing who we are in Christ, and living from that place. And living from that place of living daily, nourishing relationship, intimacy with God our Father. Living from that place, which means that we live in a place of trust rather than a place of fear. Means that we live with the sense that actually God is for us, not against us, that he's at work in us and through us, that he is at work in the world and we don't need to despair, and that God is powerful and that he's able to carry out his purpose and to bring his kingdom. Living from that place simply starts to change the way we live. Our attitudes, the way we appear to people. Not living with self-serving agendas. Not living out of a place of anxiety and fear. Simply, quietly, gently living from a place of security in the Father's love. And being able to perceive the many small little ways in which the Spirit of God is at work in our lives and the lives of those around us. And to be able to perceive how God is at work. And to be able to join in with that work. And in doing that, both as individuals in our lives, out and about, whatever they may be, wherever they may be, with the people that we're with. In doing that, and in the things that we do together as a parish, if we are living from that place, then we will be, people as we are, God's witnesses. And people will be drawn to the light. So I don't need to worry too much about whether I've got the right words to say. I think my worry is trying to broach the subject. But actually, as I just keep rediscovering for myself when I forget, if I'm just living the life, I don't need to broach the subject because it just comes to me. And people ask the questions. People are interested. Because people see the difference, don't they? Isaiah's message to the people of Israel at the time is, you will be my witnesses. And you've been my witnesses in some very difficult circumstances. His prophecy is actually relating to exile in Babylon and the return from exile in Babylon. So completely rooted out of the promised land and their homeland and all their securities and all their familiarity, living in captivity in Babylon, and then the next generation or two being sent back to Jerusalem. That's the situation that he's speaking into. So it's not all lovely and easy and rosy, and it's hugely challenging for the people of Israel, and it will be hugely challenging for us. But I think the call is the same. The call to us is the same as the call was to them, for us to be witnesses, by simply staying close to God in our lives and perceiving his presence at work amongst us. I was going to go into lots of detail at this stage, but I've decided I'm going to leave it there and let us dwell with that message, and there'll be another time for the rest. Amen.